But we seem to live in an age where one's success is judged by one's materialistic wealth. And we seem to live in an age in which one's friends are friends because of one's wealth. So timing seemed like a celebrity so wealthy that he has nothing else to really do. I watched a documentary, A Day in the Life of Richard Branson. And at first you're like, well, that would be fantastic. I'd love to wake up and think, oh, lunch in Barcelona, maybe. But in fact, he's really bored and can't think of enough things to do and probably doesn't have very many things that excite him or thrill him. In fact, this particular documentary, if you get to see it, he's totally cross that one of the stewardesses he sees in an airport isn't wearing the virgin red shoes. That, like, just... he goes off about how this person, member of staff, should not be wearing the standard red shoes. And, of course, their lives, and I think of all of those people, but perhaps Steve Jobs, perhaps all of those people that have absolutely more money than ever, their lives are not like ours. I mean, they really don't experience life. It's just not the same. There are no dishes in the sink. There is no dust on the mantelpiece. You know, it's just done for them. And so I can understand or begun to understand how a man could seek friends and the giving of friends as being the one thing that he can do to enable them perhaps to a better life, but the thrill that he gets. Well, Janet and I had many discussions about the period in the world of this play, and it did seem that it needed to be a contemporary play, contemporary in its dress, as you can see. So, and I had a fascination, I should say, with the idea that this was a little bit in the future. Just a little bit. Not like on Mars, but just a little bit further in the future. And there is a television series called Black Mirror. Is anybody familiar with that? And the Black Mirror is this, in which this rules our lives. And doesn't it? Technology has advanced so quickly, in both the positive and the negative, if one considers all the medical advances. But technology has moved so quickly that now we are completely reliant on it. And when I ask you about whether you could lose all your money or not, how many of us do online banking and still balance our checkbook like we used to? Losing a quarter of a cent seems very easy without ever knowing about it. How many of those do we lose without ever knowing about it? How many do they round up and round down? And how much money would that actually be over the course of several years? So I started to think about that if money was a transaction that was made electronically and one never held it in one's hand, then yeah, he absolutely could be losing without knowing. So through Tony's genius, we have a world in which, and you can see some of it, I think, a world in which high finance, in this case, happens electronically from one device to another through the ether. So I think that's the first thing to say. The second thing is about friends, because Timon claims that he is rich in friends, which clearly he ends up not being. How many of us here are on Facebook? So Facebook is a phenomenon, as is Instagram, Snapchat, you know, all of those things. But Facebook specifically, which, you know, I think Zuckerberg really made genuinely to connect people on a social media level, is now an addiction for many young people. And I teach the 18 to 24 age group, and I can say that they are utterly addicted to it. Like publishing your life, and usually only your the happy side of your life, is absolutely an addiction. to the point where they are now complaining that Facebook will only allow them to have 3,000 friends. You can't have more than that, apparently. The system won't let you do it. They're going to try and extend that. 3,000 friends, of which I'm like, how can you possibly look at that many people in your news feed on a daily, let alone, you know, it seems like 5 minutes, every 5 minutes they're on it. And this whole idea of liking or choosing not to like, with a smiley face, with a heart, with tears, these emojis now have enormous emotional potency in these people's lives. Who has an iPhone? iPhones now, when you text, give you an emoji instead of a word. They select for you what you should use. It's like we are almost talking in hieroglyphics. We're sort of back to that. There are things you've seen, I'm sure, where they tell stories of Shakespeare by emojis. Can you name this play? There's a skull, there's a graveyard, there's a... Like, well, yeah, I can, but it's got nothing to do with the play, has it? But we are absolutely addicted. And so the question that sort of arose was, what happens to a world where technology has taken over and a world when eventually, and I don't think it's very far away, Datageddon happens and there is nothing anymore. All of that personal information, all of that transaction, all of that supposed communication that we have, immediacy and connection, connectivity with people, disappears. I mean, I can imagine that we'll be back to what? What would that feel like? I mean, the 1940s? Will you write a letter? And in business, of which I do some, you know, I remember fax machines being like, oh, I could send this and it gets to the other side of the world in like, you know, 3 or 4 minutes. I mean, who picks it off the fax machine was always the problem, but. So the second half of the play, we decided that it would remove all technology and there would be, you know, a civil war or an uprising, a coup in which none of that existed anymore. And in Finding Real Gold, I think it's possibly the first time that he's ever handled real gold. And it's a little bit, I've always used the analogy that it's a little bit like offering an alcoholic a drink, because he doesn't really know how to react, touch, or deal with this gold. So they were the two kind of combining factors, I think, friends and money and technology, I should say, that brought the conceptual idea of our production to the table.